Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Welcome to Live Well Anyway. I'm your host, Mackenzie Coppa. On this podcast, we journey together in learning how to feel healthy, look good, and plan lives we actually like in the midst of all the everyday chaos. I'm so glad you're here. And on today's episode, I have a very fun guest. We had such a great conversation. I have on Palak Dave. She is the founder of a company called Imbiria, and she is a pro at creating experiences and community that makes people feel seen and allows us to kind of get out of this rut that I think a lot of us are still in from the pandemic, when we aren't getting out there and being around people. And we have such a great in-depth conversation about what it looks like in today's culture, how to do it intentionally, how we can be taking care of ourselves and making beautiful lives for ourselves. I mean, this is an episode, you guys, that Katie would love. She would have loved to have been in on it with us, but she's off in Ireland, so whatever. But I loved this conversation with Palak. I think that you guys will too, so I can't wait to dive into it. But before we get there, have you been joining me for the morning show? Did you even know that I was doing it? So every weekday, I have been showing up on either YouTube or Instagram. YouTube is Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Instagram is Tuesday and Thursday at around 6 a.m. Pacific, and I do a morning show. And on this show, we all get together. There's a lot of chat in the comments, which I absolutely love. We talk about the top three things that we are going to try to get done for our day. And then we just focus on creating a plan for the day and getting that productivity to happen. We talk a lot about gratitude and different mindset things and other fun things that just kind of pop up. It's a really great time. And from the ladies who've been showing up, I've been hearing how much it's changing their summer, how they are able to get their day going in a way that they wouldn't otherwise if they didn't feel like they had something to show up to. I think there's a certain amount of accountability there and motivation to actually make something of our day instead of just, you know, wasting away the summer. If you feel like that might be something that would be beneficial to you, or you just want to come and hang out and have fun, we would love to have you. It's absolutely free. You just show up on my YouTube channel at Mackenzie Coppa, or on Instagram at Mackenzie Coppa around 6 a.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. All right, ladies, that's enough about that. Let's dive into this episode with Palak Dave. Welcome, Palak.
Thanks so much. Thanks for having me.
I am so excited to have you today. I have had like this slew of pitches this summer for people to come on the show. And so I've been trying to be very choosy about who I want to have on. And everything in your bio and your website, it just all looks so beautiful and like, oh, that's a life I want to live. And so I was like, I've got to have her on. This will be a great conversation.
Oh, I love that. I'm glad that you got that feeling. I mean, that's what I'm all about. So I'm glad it resonated.
Absolutely. So will you introduce yourself for my audience?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Palak. I'm the founder of Imbiria. Imbiria means experience in Greek. And essentially the whole company's mission is to get you to slow down and savor life. I think that in today's busy world, we don't often have time to actually take that time for ourselves to bring more joy into our everyday and to connect with the people that we love and do the things that we love. And so not only is it considered really a movement that I'm trying to create, but it's also a membership-based community. And I'm also the author of Beautiful Everydays, A Guide to Living in the Here and Now, which inspires people to bring more beauty and joy into their day-to-day lives.
I love this. It sounds like there's something inspiring about like curating your life and being intentional with it and beautiful with it. And my best friend, who's often on the podcast with me, she's like a pro at this. And I'm always amazed because she adds twinkle lights to everything. And she has all these ideas of how to curate down to like the very minute detail. And I don't feel like I have that ability quite as much as she does. But I love having someone like you on the podcast because you're like giving that guidance and showing how to get there. But I would love to back up because this isn't where you started. You started in marketing for some pretty big companies. Yeah. So I would love to hear like how you got from there to here.
Yes, thanks for asking. It is quite the journey, and I think that the reason I am where I am today is because of all the experiences that I've had. So it really played a role. I come from a 10-year corporate background. So I graduated with my business degree, went right into working business and marketing roles for various large companies. I work for a bank in Canada. I work for Indigo Books and Music, which is a really big book retailer here. And I then transitioned to TIFF, the Toronto Film Festival, where I was there for 4 years managing this as a senior marketing manager, managing all of the marketing and communications for the film festival that happened every year. So after that, I think I was at that role in TIFF, and I was really just for myself craving more community and connection. I found that I would often go to work and feel like I didn't have time for experiences that I really wanted to have in my life, or I would go to a workout class and feel like I wouldn't get to talk to the people at the class, and I would just, leave feeling kind of like I could just work out at home, or what was the point of the class? And so I had this idea to create experiences that would bring people together and foster that sense of community. And it all started just as like a little seed. It wasn't this notion of, oh, I want to become an entrepreneur and start my own business, but the idea really took shape, and I was probably well along my own wellness journey where I really wanted to slow down and try and find these experiences for myself. So I thought, why don't I just create them? And I ended up leaving TIFF and my role there. And instead of taking a job as director of marketing for a really big hotel brand, I went full on into Emberia. And it started off with that little seed, and then it became one experience that I planned. My very first one was a yoga and brunch experience, just pairing two things that I love together. And I put the event up on an event platform, and it sold out very quickly. And I quickly realized that without a social media following, without a mailing list, without all the things, there was a need for what I was creating. And this was 7 years ago now. So at the time, there weren't that many experiences happening in the city. Like, not everything was a beautiful curated experience the way it is now. But I just started with that little idea, and that quickly turned into a business. It really went from me running one event to running two. And then I had the goal the very first year. I wanted to run maybe between 5 to 10 events, and I ended up doing 50 that first year. Yeah, so it really took off, and just that momentum that I had, that people were craving community, they were craving connection. They would always come to the events and, come in feeling a bit stressed or anxious, and they would leave feeling really calm and grounded and fulfilled. And I thought, this is just a space that I want to create for people, whether it's through the book, whether it's through a gathering that I'm hosting, or whether it's through the membership community. I just wanted to provide spaces for people to reconnect with themselves and the people around them. So it's been 7 years now, and I've hosted almost 500 events,
Oh my
which
gosh.
a lot of events, work with some really cool brands like Bumble and Nespresso to bring the events to life using different activations. And now I've transitioned into the membership community and having the book as sort of channels to also offer people ways to just feel really present within themselves.
So is what you were doing, it mostly sounds like it started out like more locally and then expanded from there.
Yeah, exactly. So it started off as Toronto-based experiences, just because I'm in Toronto, located here. But then I realized that, people around the world are craving this, and that's where the membership community came into play. It's very new. It actually is just launching this month. So yeah, and the book I've been working on for 4 years. So that
Oh
notion
my
of
goodness.
it to become a global tool for people, I really had that maybe like 4 or 5 years ago, because I knew that there was only one me, and I had, some marketing help at the time. But obviously, thinking of scaling a business is tough, and trying to figure out the best way to do it when I wanted to maintain the standards of like quality when it came to my events. So it wasn't as easy as just saying, oh, I'm going to do these around the world. I really wanted to be sort of careful and methodical in the way that I approach that. And so I figure now, through the membership community, the whole idea is it's a space for people to connect, to make friends, and to connect with beautiful experiences, whether they're hosted by me or whether they're hosted by other members. So there's going to be a book club as a part of it. There's book clubs. You can actually host your own meetups and gatherings. So it doesn't really matter where you are in the world. It's like using tech for good to connect us, but move it from offline, from online to offline. I really want you to transition that relationship so you're not stuck behind a screen, but you're actually getting out person and gathering.
Well, I love that idea because I think that it's so easy, like you said, to get stuck behind screens. We're all like pretty used to that. And we're going to get into like the pandemic and that what that did to all of us in a minute. But I love that you're also like acknowledging there is this screen component that we do have these online spaces, that can actually be really great catalysts for having online community. I mean, I just think back to like when I was a young mom and I just had little kids and I felt like the only way that I could really like get in touch with people was online because I was just stuck with all these little people so much of the time. But now even I feel like, I mean, the pandemic obviously was a thing. And for your business, I'm sure it was a really big thing.
Oh, yeah.
But now I feel like we're almost having to relearn how to be in community again and what that looks like and that that's a good thing. And even just when I've been trying to push myself because I work from home and, you know, I have my small circle of friends, but they're all busy too. And we have busy lives. Like for me, just going to like the coffee shop or joining a workout class or like doing things where I'm forcing myself to get out and around people. Every time I get home, I'm like, oh, like this is missing. Like I really liked being around real people.
I love that you are bringing this up because you basically just summed up exactly what's happened over the past 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
It's been such a shift in our society and only a few years, but it's had such a profound impact on our behaviors, on how we show up, on how we don't show up. I mean, it became almost the norm because we got so conditioned to being isolated and on our own and just in our own houses and not leaving and just like binging television shows and doing all the things that we almost forgot how to socialize. And it is funny to see it swing the other way now, where I was hosting these experiences and now people are craving community more than ever. But it's exactly what you said, where you always sort of hesitate. I find people hesitate to make social plans. And there's a little bit of a feeling of like, oh, I don't know if I want to commit to this. I don't know if I actually want to go. I don't want to get ready. I don't want to dress up. I don't want to do all the things where I have to like trek somewhere across the city. And then I probably hear 99% of the time, maybe even 100% of the time, that when people do go and they do these things, even if it's a coffee with a friend, or even if it's just like a casual drink or hanging out or taking your kids and doing something fun, you always feel better afterwards. So it is really interesting because it's like what self-care used to be, when we would say, oh, we should take more baths. We should spend like Sunday doing self-care Sunday. This is like the new form of self-care Sunday, where we're realizing, hey, we actually feel pretty good in community and social connection. So why aren't we doing more of it? And I think it's because we spent a few years online and we've forgotten how, and we think that this means connection, which it does. But it's, I like to compare it. The example I give is like, you know, you can see posts about Italy and a vacation to Italy, and you can say, oh, that's a really beautiful video or a reel that you watch. But then you go to Italy and you have the experience in Italy and you're like, oh, this is a completely different experience being here and the energy you have. And that's sort of like online connection versus offline connection. You can have it, you can see it, you can appreciate it. But then when you truly connect and feel the energy of someone else in person, like it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's absolutely true. And it's what I talk about with people all the time, like with planning and trying to organize their lives. And they're always saying, well, like, how do I get the motivation? And a lot of times I have to say, like, motivation isn't a thing. Like the motivation actually comes afterward. It's like the discipline of doing it. You just kind of have to force yourself to make a different choice. And it's only afterward that you realize.
Exactly. And I kind of call it, you know, it's like, it's building a habit really, but then I like to use the word traditions or rituals that you can create for yourself. It's like habit is like, yes, you want to, you know, you want to work out often, or you want to eat healthier. And those are habits that we're all trying to form. But if you position it as this idea of like a tradition or ritual, then it's something you really look forward to. So it's like, oh, maybe the rituals that you're just grabbing a coffee every Wednesday with a friend and you go for a walk, and that's what you do. And that's a ritual that you look forward to. It's a way to get social connection. You get to see someone in person, and it just creates this sense of fulfillment within you. Then instead of being like, oh yeah, I saw some of their posts online and I feel like I know what's going on in their life.
Yeah.
Like it's a totally different feeling. So yeah, I think creating these traditions and rituals are really important to our well-being. And I don't think we're doing enough of it. And I feel like yet we're all craving it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, especially if you're someone who has some sort of a following online, a lot of times people feel like they know what's happening in your life, but you still don't really know what's happening in other people's lives. And so it's got this breakdown there where you're like, oh, friends aren't keeping up with me because they've seen my posts or whatever.
Absolutely.
But then when you actually like get together, it's like, oh, no, there's more to catch up on here, and I want to know about your life, and it does make such a difference. And I love the idea of saying as a ritual or tradition, that even just the wording of it makes it like feel more sacred or special.
Exactly. It's kind of that idea, you know, it's trending now, but it's the idea of romanticizing your life. It's like
Yeah.
doing the little things that bring you joy. And even when I wrote the book, like beautiful every day, that word of creating beauty in your everyday, like these terms take on different shapes, but ultimately they all are the same meaning. At the end of it, it really is just that idea of bringing some sort of joy or beauty into your day to day, whether that's through an experience, whether that's through connecting with a friend, whether that's just doing something good for yourself. And as humans, fundamentally, we are all craving those things.
Absolutely. Ladies, did you know learning actually makes a sound? It's true. Listen. That's the sound of you learning a new language with Babbel. And I get it. We are busy women with lots of things going on, and it can feel overwhelming to be adding anything into our life. But with Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons that are handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language, you can be making progress in as little as 3 weeks with just that 10 minutes a day. And because we're so crunched for time, we also don't have hours to waste on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. As I have been getting rolling with Babbel, it has been super fun to finally be learning some French, because as most of you know, I would like to take up residence there for a long-term stay at some point in my future when my children are grown and gone. And I'm so glad that I'm obtaining the skills right now that will allow me to have those real life conversations, so I can do things like order food and ask for directions, speak to merchants without having to consult language apps while on vacation. I'm never going to have to be trying to find a bathroom, but not being able to convey what I'm trying to tell the person and typing it into my phone when I'm in a hurry. Nope. I am getting down my language skills so that I can be ready to go and feel confident and alive and just fully enjoy that experience whenever it comes. And to make sure that I am doing it to the absolute best of my ability, because, you know, I'm a voice actor. I like to make things sound correctly and have the right accent and all of that stuff. And with Babbel's speech recognition technology, it helps to improve your pronunciation and accent. So they really have all your language bases covered. Studies from Yale, Michigan State University, and others continue to prove that Babbel is just better. One study found that using Babbel for 15 hours is equivalent to a full semester at college. Babbel has over 16 million subscriptions sold, plus all of Babbel's 14 award-winning language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee. And here's a special limited-time deal just for my listeners. Right now, get 55% off your Babbel subscription, only for my listeners, at babbel.com/livewell. Again, that's 55% off at babbel.com/livewell, spelled babbel.com/livewell. Rules and restrictions apply. Okay. I'm so like, which direction do I go in? I have so many things that I want to ask you, but I want to ask you specifically about the events. So, okay, you did yoga and what did you pair it with?
Yeah, yoga and brunch.
Okay, yoga and brunch. But I'm sure it wasn't just like that. Like there was so much more to curating it. So what does that look like when you're curating one of these events? Like what all goes into it? What little pieces do you think of to make it beautiful? I would just walk me through it.
Yeah, I would love to walk you through that. It's actually become a whole process. And now I even have a little masterclass on hosting your own in-person
I
event.
I saw that. Yeah.
I've really gone through doing so many that, of course, over time, I come to know what people resonate with and what really lands amongst people. So my events, I'd like to say that, you know, the little details really do matter. And it's not about this big production. I often hear from people like hosting is so overwhelming, whether it's a birthday party or a dinner or an event for your business. I think people get really overwhelmed at this thought of hosting, but hosting doesn't need to be a grand thing. It just means that you have to have some sort of intention about the event that you're hosting, and you need to acknowledge the fact that you are the host. So it is your responsibility to guide this group of people through some sort of experience, ideally with an intention behind it. And people often mistake an intention for the type of event they're doing. So they'll say, oh, yeah, I'm having a birthday party. That's great, but a birthday party can also have lots of different intentions. Like, do you want to celebrate a milestone that you're going through? Do you want to celebrate every single person that's going to be there that's been part of your journey? Do you want to just gather people for a really fun night where you're dancing the night away? Like, there's so many different intentions that I think that's the first step in recognizing what's the intention behind your event and who are the people that you're gathering. And then acknowledging yourself as the host and really realizing that an event starts from the moment that you send an invitation out. It doesn't actually start from the moment they arrive. So having that purpose and intention behind every single step of the way is so important. So your guests should really understand from the moment they get that invitation why they're being asked to be at your event. They want to understand what their purpose is and how they are connected to other people within that space. It's like when they show up, they don't want to feel scared and overwhelmed and like they don't belong. They want to feel welcome and they want to understand exactly why they've been asked to attend. Or if it's a business event, then they want to understand what is the purpose of the event that really makes them feel connected to it. So those are the things that I start off with in terms of like the planning and intention behind my events. And then when it comes to the actual experience, I mean, I look at sort of an entire sensory experience. Like I'm making sure that it's obviously a really beautiful aesthetic event because people are just so pleased when they see things like that and it makes people feel calm. I'm thinking about the scents. Are there candles there? Am I actually having florals? Little details like that. The music is obviously a huge component of it. The ease of flow with the event, I think is really important. And one of the biggest things that I think sets my events apart is just the fact that I'm really warm and welcoming. I think that often as the host, because you're overwhelmed, you're just busy running around and it feels like you have so much to do, but you have to really take a step back and remember that you're the person that brought these people here and they're looking to you to create that warmth and that welcoming environment for them. So I greet most of my guests like with a hug and just make them feel really welcome, and I often connect them to other people at the event. So I'll try and be that connector saying, "Oh, hey, I feel like you would get along with this person. Like, come over here, let me introduce you." Just to take a few moments to create an environment that makes people feel really like settled into themselves. So those are
I
my key.
love, I mean, that just all first, you blew my mind with the intention thing because that can totally transform how people feel about going to an event to begin with. But that thing about the warmth, I just went last week. My family got together with another family. We were just going over for a barbecue. It was just our two families, But it was the first time that we had gotten together to do dinner. And all the kids, when we left, they were like, because they're like teenagers and stuff, And when they left, they were like, oh my gosh, Sasha was so inviting. Like, she hugged each and every one of us. She made us feel like we were at home, like we could just totally settle in. It made us feel like we didn't have to be nervous or feel awkward. And that was so true because I've been to dinners before with friends and it's fine and it's good. But there was like this different level of welcoming and bringing us into her space to feel at home. And it totally transforms how quickly you're able to kind of like settle into being in that environment and enjoying yourself. So that's so interesting that those are the top two things that you kind of pointed out.
Yeah, I love that. I love that they had that experience because I think, we often get hung up on making an event Pinterest worthy. Like the focus is really now in, especially in today's day and age where everything is filmed and taken photographs of, we just are always looking at what's the most aesthetic thing. And yes, the details matter, but you have to pair those details with the actual feeling behind them. You just have a pretty Pinterest photo and then not have the event match. And I've been to actually many events where it's an influencer style event or media event, and I've attended them, I've hosted them, and I've attended them. And the ones that I've attended, unfortunately, a lot of them miss the mark where you walk in and you feel out of place. You don't talk to anyone in the room. You wonder why you're really there or what the intention behind the event is. And maybe you leave with a gift bag, which is like, that's great. But also, there's such a missed opportunity there in terms of what people could have done to connect you to the brand or the person hosting and actually make you feel like you're a part of the experience. So if I'm ever hosting a media event, I'm very aware of how I'm telling that brand story or maybe interviewing the founder or like bringing them into it so that it feels like an entire experience that you really want to stay and linger and slow down, and kind of what I was mentioning at the beginning of like, yeah, savoring the experience, not just going in and out. Like, we're all busy, yeah. And an event is something that should be remembered, not just a little tick to like check off your to-do list.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Okay, this is totally a sidebar question, but have you read the book Unreasonable Hospitality by
Oh
Will
my gosh, it's
Guevara?
funny. So many people have told me about this, and it's
Really?
on my list, and I keep
Oh.
hearing amazing. So I need to,
Yeah.
you're probably the fifth person that said this to
Really?
me. I definitely need to read this book.
Yes, I listened to the audiobook. He does a great job with it. And but have you seen The Bear either?
I've seen,
Okay.
I only saw season one. I haven't caught up. So yeah.
Oh, girl. Okay, well, in season two, it's like it shows that hospitality, and it also shows Cousin Richie reading that book.
Oh, wow, that's
And then, yeah,
amazing.
that guy came on as one of the executive producers for season three.
No
So
way.
it
That's
talks
so
so
cool.
much about the curation and like
Wow.
everything that they did at this restaurant to just totally make people feel special and seen and welcome, and
I
stuff that I
love
would have
that.
never dreamed. And we were watching The Bear with our teens the other night, and some of them were even going like, are there real restaurants that like they would know your name or they would do these things? And I was like, I just read this book. Yes, this is real. But it's like, it's mind-blowing when you have people who take that extra moment and that extra
Yes.
notice, and
And
we can
that's what
all
sets
do
them.
that. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's what sets those brands apart. Like, it
Yeah.
really is something that's memorable. I mean, I know for me, I've stayed at hotels before that have made me feel so special and so unique. And, you
Yeah.
know, they'll really go the extra mile. And I'm actually an Airbnb host. So I make sure that even with our spaces, that I make sure to do that with guests. And just, it's the little things. And you'd be surprised as to how far those things go. Like, I remember there was once a guest, and they'd mentioned something about just like loving Italian food. And so we like ordered pasta and like fresh pasta and sauces and got it delivered to the door. And it was just like that little thing that you do creates the most memorable experience for the guest, and they
Yeah.
will always remember it. So yeah, I love it, and I can't wait to read that book. It sounds like it's right up my alley.
Yeah. Oh, I think you will absolutely love adore it, love it, all the things, because it's so good. But yeah, like you're saying, with these little things, when people feel like they have been seen or heard and it's unexpected,
Yes.
because it's not the norm anymore in our culture to really
Exactly.
look towards other people and how we can serve other people and make other people feel welcome. And I love it. I love those ideas. Yeah. So events, obviously, like it applies to events, but how do you draw this into like your real everyday? I saw you have an Instagram post about like living a European summer, and like what does this look for you in the
Yeah.
everyday?
So that notion of rituals and traditions, I think for the past probably 5 years, I've really focused on turning my lifestyle into one that was just all about productivity and goals and accomplishments. And that's really just how I was raised. I mean, I'm an A-type personality. I'm very into like growth mindset, and achieving all the things and starting a business really propelled that even further. And I feel like over the past few years, I've realized that it is through the times that I allow myself to pause and truly reconnect to myself and my inner voice, that's when I see exponential growth in other areas of my life. Instead of pushing and pushing and pushing and like hitting my head against the wall, trying to make it happen just by the number of hours I'm putting in. So instead of doing that, allowing myself to give myself the permission to pause, and I actually have an event called Permission to Pause that's really was a spin-off of all this thinking, where I incorporate little things into my day-to-day. So whether it's just rituals, as I mentioned. So I like have non-negotiables. Like, I love my morning movement. I take my dog for a walk. I start my morning really slow because I feel like that's just the time that I love to like protect for myself. I always believe in creation over consumption. So when it comes to social media, I really try and have boundaries around how I'm navigating that relationship. Definitely not something I've perfected. I think it's just a really interesting time we're at in the world where we're all on our phones so much, and we're on
Yeah.
devices so much. So it is a complicated relationship, but it's one that I'm very conscious of, and I really try and make an effort around, which includes at night, you know, not scrolling at night and not having my phone near me, and trying to like end the day with meditation or stretching or things in my day. And I also have a lot of really fun rituals with my husband that we've created. He's actually European, so he's inspired a lot of these things. And we've traveled to Europe. I've lived in Europe before, and I've also we got married in Europe, and I feel like I've incorporated a lot of the learnings into just my day-to-day lifestyle. And when you look at the European lifestyle, it really is about gathering and connecting, and you're really not living to work, you're working to live. So it really is a whole different mindset. Whereas North America, it's very much like your job is your identity. So we make sure to have hobbies outside of work and spending time with one another, and like we'll do little rituals where it'll be like a Friday morning and we're like, we both work for ourselves and it's obviously lovely that we can do this, but we'll like go to a cafe and go grab a croissant and just take an hour during the day, because why not? Like, we create these rules for ourselves sometimes, I think, and there's no need for them. If you can get around them and you actually have the means to be able to do things like that, then why not do them? Like, just it really is about looking back at your life when your life is to nearing the end and you want to look back saying, what did I do that was just really good for myself? What did I do for the people around me? How did I nurture those relationships and nurture my well-being? And so I try and look at that lens of life from now, instead of waiting till then to do it.
I love that. I heard somebody one time say, like, picture the life that you want to have 5, 10 years from now, and then start living it. Like, start doing the things that are actually going to get you there. And why can't you do a lot of those things? Like, there's no reason not to.
And just really trying to like carve that time out for one another, which I think that, life can get busy and sometimes you just don't do those things, but it's really important to do it. And I think we often also think that it has to be the big vacation or the big thing, but it doesn't. It can be the day to day. And I think that's what I also really want to show through the book, is that it's accessible. It's something as simple as, like, there's an activity out of the book called Cafe at Home. And I love doing this with my husband. We turn like our living room into a little cafe coffee shop, and like we make like a pour over coffee, or I'll do a tea and we'll just like sit there for an hour and read and just enjoy each other's company. And doing things like that might seem like it's not something that you'll infuse into your day, but it makes such a difference in how your week goes. And you feel like you're actually living versus just working and feeling stressed all the time.
Well, and it's like going back to the European culture thing. I mean, I think there's they have more breaks built into their days. They have tea. They do these things like as a part of their day that they realized, I think, a long time ago that that was necessary to have these breaks, to have those slowing down points, where in America, in the North America, we are just go, go, go all the time. We're pushed to the next thing. What can I fit in? What can I do with my downtime? And so I think it's when you make it something, when you make it actually, like you're saying, a ritual, a tradition, that is like something else you can put on your calendar if you have to,
Yeah, exactly. Which I totally am still that type. Like, I'm the type that would want to put it in my calendar, but at least I'm doing something where I'm making the everyday an experience. And I think that's what's really beautiful about it, that it can be the simple moments in your day to day. And it's just about taking the time and trying not to multitask our way through them, right? Like, it's enjoying that time for what it is, not feeling like, okay, I have time, so I gotta go on a walk and listen to a podcast and maybe respond to some texts and walk my dog and do all the things and wear like a weighted vest while I'm doing it, because it'll just make it even better. Like, it's like, why are we trying to pile on everything? And then you lose sight of what the thing is, what that joy is that it'll really bring you.
My boyfriend and I have been golfing more this summer.
Oh, that's nice.
And he likes to take like a Bluetooth speaker and listen to music while we're golfing. I mean, it keeps it low, so we're not bothering other people, which is really fun. But then sometimes too, I'm like, can we just like listen to the sounds of the golf course? Like we're right next to the river and there's like birds chirping. Like
I
turn off the music
know.
for a minute. Like let's just be in this space. And but it's also been another one of those really good practices in slowing down. Like you kind of have to when you're golfing.
Definitely. That's a great sport to take up because you're forced to slow down. But I think you're so right that we're so used to like allowing things in now with the music and the podcasts and the scrolling and the all the things. And it's almost like work to try and figure out how to undo a lot of the things that we've been doing. And we have to be really conscious of it, because you're doing it without even noticing that you're doing it anymore, right? Like, it's just like filling in those gaps of silence. Or when do we really, how many hours in a day are we allowing ourselves to just be? Like, I don't even think it might not even be like 10 minutes for some people. So it's really interesting that it's created such a change in the way that we operate. And I think that change has happened so quickly that we're not even noticing what the effects are. Like, it's something I talk about a lot, but really, there's not that much data and research that's being done on it. I think it'll come out sort of over the next 10 years because it's still relatively new for our times.
Well, and like you were saying, like we fill the silence. We're constantly trying to not have that quiet that we're alone with. But you also alluded to like we feel the need to make the most of every minute. And I think we almost have like a guilt if we aren't.
I feel that for sure. That was part of me needing to undo some of the things. I still feel that way. I mean, it'll be the day, and during the day, a work day for me, which I work for myself. So you think, obviously, I know I can make my own hours. But, you know, if it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I would never dare do things before that, like, would make me feel like I'm not being productive. And even down to like the books that I want to read, like you told me about the book, now I'm going to add it to my list. And I have a list of books that I want to get through, and I have a list of documentaries and that I want to watch, and a list of XYZ. It's like, why is everything a list and everything is like productive activity? Where, why can't we just do things for the sake of doing them? So it's in the moments of pause that we're actually able to allow ourselves to really become more creative and truly rest and feel rejuvenated and like be able to then pour ourselves into whatever it is that we're doing next. And if we don't take those moments, I think we're operating at a different capacity where we're not even aware of the fact that we're feeling depleted or low energy, or and that it's just become our norm. So we're not really aware that that's what's happening.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that that creative piece too, you can't get inspired. You can't have room for your brain to even get to those creative places if it's just constantly bombarded with new information and things you're supposed to be doing. It's just that's a different mode to be in, to even be able to think, I think, about doing that curation, about adding that beauty into your life. It's hard to think about what those things look like when you're just trying to max out your day and max out your space and your time. And like you, it's a lot harder to get there.
Absolutely. And I don't think, you know, a lot of people might feel that it means you can't work hard, or you shouldn't be working super hard. And that's not necessarily what I'm saying. Like, I feel like when I talk about slowing down, it's slowing down in the moments that you should allow yourself to slow down. Like, I work super hard in my business, and I'm very, very driven, and I'm very self-motivated. And luckily, I have those qualities, but I also know that there needs to be a balance at some point. Like, I can't just operate in that way and feel like all of those things are going to amount to something great when I'm not showing up in the way that I could be showing up. And that's someone that's more rested or feeling more relaxed and more creative because I've given myself that space to do those things.
Absolutely. I think that's such a great delineation to make that we're not saying like just don't be on social media ever and like live in the woods in a yurt that you've created, it doesn't have to be that extreme. Like you can still be that go-getter and that person who has your list and is getting things done, but still take the moments to pause and add the beauty and have all those pieces.
Exactly. I talk about that a lot, actually, the fact that, you know, it doesn't need to be a digital detox where you're out living in the woods. That's exactly it. I think there's that sort of feeling that you need to abandon everything to like feel better, which in some cases, sure, for people you might need to, and you might need that break, but often it's something as simple as like taking a Sunday to just maybe not be on social media. Like, it's one day a week, and if you can do it and it's not necessary for your business for you to be on, or someone else can manage it for you, then just taking that time can make the world of difference. So, and kind of what you said before, when when you're a new mom and you were looking for spaces to connect, online can be an amazing thing. Like, we're talking online right now, and I think that's so great for the ability to connect in certain ways, but there are other things that you have to do to make sure that you're filling your cup outside of just what technology is providing us.
And another thing that I've noticed as we've moved back from this place of being in the pandemic where we're so isolated and we're just kind of seeing the highlight reel of what's happening in people's lives. You don't often get to those deeper points of what people are going through until you get in a more intimate space with them.
A
And
thousand.
I like there are people that I've been around like my daughter's ballet studio and like been in and out seeing people, but it isn't until you sit down with them that you're like, oh, you've had a really terrible year. And I had no idea. And so I would have never had the perspective on like knowing how I could have helped you or how you may have responded to certain emails or whatever that I would have taken the wrong way if I hadn't known what you were going through. And I think that until we can force ourselves to get back into that kind of relationship with people, we're missing so much of how we can be there for other people, how they can be there for us, that we're just not going to see if we're in this surface level space online.
I love that you brought that up. I think that's exactly it. It's cultivating those deeper, meaningful, authentic connections, which is very hard to do when you don't necessarily have that relationship online. You might think someone's like an online bestie, but if you're really not cultivating that in person, you're not recognizing those things. And you can feel that off someone's energy when you see somebody. Like you can tell. I've been to places where I've, you know, even been traveling and I'll be at a cafe and someone that's serving me might say, you know, I ask them how their day is and they say, yeah, it's okay. And I can tell they're having an off day. So I'll try to like go a little deeper, ask if everything's okay. And I've had people like fully break down and be like, thank you so much for asking. Like, actually I've had an awful day. And then I try and give them the space to feel their emotions. And what's really interesting about that is we're all human having this human experience, yet we lose sight of the fact that every single person has something they're going through. Like we all still look at social media and think people have perfect lives or that it looks amazing. And we tend to lose sight so quickly of the fact that they probably have so many things that they're grappling with the same way that we all are. And so providing that space in person for people to have those deeper connections, like I think that is the art of friendship. And I think we're losing a little bit of that. And we need to get back to the times where we're asking those deeper questions and creating spaces to have those conversations that truly matter and make a difference in our, in each other's lives.
Yeah. And it takes that intentionality and just forcing yourself to get over yourself and put yourself out there, because it's not always easy. I think this is the hardest time in history, probably ever, to be able to reach out to people and to actually get yourself out the door and go do the things. You know, we are used to that isolation, but it's worth it when we do it.
Exactly. It's always worth it. And we feel that afterwards and we'll notice it. So the more you do it, it's like a practice you do. You have to build up to it, build back up to it. And then you'll realize. And I think there's been a bit of a trend lately in terms of, you know, protecting your own peace and listening to yourself and saying no to things, which I think is valid in certain scenarios where, you know, you might not be feeling up to something and, or it's just the wrong reasons for why you'd be going and it's not feeling aligned. And I totally respect that. But I also think it can swing a little bit extreme where we're like, oh, this is like an out for me. I don't have to go to this party. I don't want to. I don't have to show up to my friend's birthday. I don't have to go to her baby shower because I'm not really feeling it. And it's like, if you're just kind of saying that, I think cultivating deep friendships becomes very difficult to do.
Yeah.
If you're not showing up for the people in your life because it's about them in that moment, not about you. So a selfless act to be able to say, hey, I'm coming because you value me enough to invite me and I value you enough to celebrate you or to be there for you at this time that matters. And that's how you build a deep friendship, not by saying no. And if you're protecting your peace because there's stuff going on in your life, I totally get it. But if you're going to say no, and then you're going to stay at home and maybe scroll TikTok for 2 hours and not feel good after the 2 hours, then I don't think you've done yourself a favor. And I don't think you've done your friend or whoever's invited you a favor. So I feel like we've got to look at how we're treating a lot of those things nowadays where we're saying no. It's like, check in with yourself. Are you saying no because you just kind of don't want to? Or should you push yourself to maybe say yes and see how you feel afterwards by saying yes to more things again and going out in the world and doing things and feeling socially connected?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've gotten such in this place in our society where it's all about like making sure that you're okay and checking in with yourself and your emotions and only doing things that feel true to you, that sometimes I feel like I just want to take people by the shoulders and be like, not everything is about you.
Exactly.
And that's okay. Like, you become a selfish person. It's not about like independence and all of that anymore. you are severing yourself from other people. And yes, we need to have those boundaries and we need to make healthy decisions for ourselves. But people were made to be in community. We were made for this. So it can't be about you all the time.
Like yes, and it also, it's yeah. totally true. It's so true. It can't be about you all the time. And when you're in a community, your relationships are not going to be perfect. It doesn't mean that you're going to have a relationship that's suddenly not going to bring up stuff for you or trigger something you or be a mirror to something that you need to learn. Like, it's going to happen. And that's why historically in family dynamics within European cities, like it happens. And yes, of course you need to be doing the inner work and the healing and like trying to, you know, have those relationships that truly feel good and aligned. But by isolating yourself more and more, it's not going to help you cultivate that feeling of community, and you're going to feel more alone, and you're probably not going to feel as good because you're isolating yourself even further.
So
not really a good formula for having a fulfilling life.
Yeah. I mean, it's so interesting. I remember back in high school, I worked in a retirement home and it was so stark, the difference between the people who had either gotten divorced very young and stayed on their own for a long time, or you could tell they had mostly been isolated. They were angry and frustrated and unhappy with everything. They were like the Karens of the retirement home. They were the ones who had a problem with everything, only had negative things to say. And you could tell they never had those people to rub up against to kind of like wear down those sharp edges and make them into those like sweet old ladies that you would know. Like, those ones were the ones who were part of community and had those pieces in their lives where you could tell they weren't just on their own, but they didn't set themselves apart. They got in the midst of everybody. And I think it's important that we think about that end goal. Like, what do I want to surround myself with that's going to help shape me into the person that I'm going to become even when I'm 85?
Completely. And I think it's really easy to have that cop out just to be like, yeah, no, I don't feel like doing this, but those things add up over time. And then we all wonder why we're feeling more anxious, more depressed, less connected to ourselves, less connected to the world around us. Obviously the news doesn't help and all the events in the world. So like, there's so many layers to it. And generally, like, it's a fundamental human need to be in community. So finding your people, whoever they might be, it's just important to surround yourself with those people to have those connections in order for you to feel fulfilled and happy.
Yeah. And become the kind of person that you want to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. We're going to move in towards the end of the episode now. I would love to hear what an actual day looks like for you in your beautiful life.
Oh, yeah. Well, so a typical sort of work day, I'll say, is like I mentioned with my slow mornings. I love my slow mornings. Actually, even on Monday mornings, since I started working for myself, I carve out until like 11 a.m. as just me, because I'm like, I have the ability to do this. Why am I not doing it? So I started doing that with my Monday mornings, and it's just time for me, whether it's like taking a walk by the beach with my puppy or like me and my husband and my puppy, and just having a really nice breakfast. Like, I've like made pancakes on a Monday morning before, cause I'm like, why not? I've carved this time out and it's in my calendar. So I like it's time for me. But then I'll get into some work, and I try and batch work where I like split my days with different things. So for example, if it's like interviews or podcast interviews, or I'm working on meetings or things like that, I'll have like my social time in my calendar for work stuff kind of blocked off within two separate days. And then I'll also like batch work my emails or like heads down work where I really need to focus and actually like carve something out. And then I often will like, I'll take the time for lunch to make sure that I like sit down and actually have a lunch, not in front of my screen necessarily. So I'll just like take that time. That might involve me listening to a podcast if I'm on my own, which I love to do. I love listening to good podcasts. And then just after the workday, I always try and unwind with a walk or some form of meditation or stretching, just to like kind of signal that the workday has ended. I'll cook a like nice meal with my husband at home on a weeknight, or just like go out with friends for dinner. And I have a little like wind down routine. I love meditating before bed. I try to avoid screens like maybe an hour before bed. I know it's probably not even enough, but I try to do that. Sometimes I get into a really good show that I love, and I will carve out that time for watching some TV. And I'll also throughout the day make time for phone calls. So this is new, where I'm like, trying to not say that I'm too busy to talk to people during my work day because I've got into a habit of being like, if it's like my mom's calling or a friend calls me and I'm like, oh my God, there's no way I could answer this during my day. I have too much to do. It's like, but do I like why can't I carve out that time? So I've gotten better at answering the phone again. What a shocking
I know.
a shocker that I'm actually
Now
talking.
we're really countercultural.
Exactly. So now I'm like picking up the phone, whereas but 2 years ago, if you asked me, I'd be like, oh my God, the phone's ringing, like I'm not answering it. But now I'm getting back into it, and I honestly, it was like that was it was a ritual. I needed to like build up to it again, and I really have come to cherish those moments where someone calls and I just check in and I talk to them, and it doesn't involve me texting or having to like type a message out. I'm just checking in, and I've gotten better at being like, okay, it was great chatting, like I got to run or whatever. I'll talk to you soon. But at least it's a bit of a check-in. It doesn't need to be a 2 hour phone conversation. So that's
Wouldn't that
kind
be hilarious if it swung back the other way and people are like so annoyed with having to explain things on text that they end
of
up
honestly, it
calling
would
each
be
other again?
so funny because I feel like text is the new email in a way. Like a lot of people, we delay getting back to our texts because they're building up so much that it's like, oh shoot, I got to respond to like 20 texts, or a group thread goes crazy. And you're like, it's the same way that an email thread used to be back like 10 years ago. So it's kind of
Yeah, it's
funny.
true.
Email is like, emails become text. And now what's text going to become? It became voice notes a little bit. And now it's like, what's the next thing?
It's so crazy to see it all
I
change
know.
and regress and like,
I know. I know.
Okay, what is just some little thing that you do in your life to live well anyway? And you've talked about a lot of these things, I think, on this episode, but if you could pick just one thing, what do you do?
I would say reading. I honestly feel like just reading a physical book, not on a screen, not on an e-reader, like the feeling of having a physical book in my hand before bed, or trying to actually make it an experience where it's like the middle of a Sunday afternoon and I'll light a candle, just like grab a blanket, get cozy, and like be like, oh, I'm gonna spend half an hour reading instead of like being on my phone or doing something else. I'll just take that time for me. And I've always loved reading. Like when I was a kid, I would read a lot, read before bed every day. And now I just feel like it always makes me feel relaxed, and I always just feel really good after I do it. And I'm often learning things while I'm reading. So yeah, I would say reading. Big one for me, and I truly like love just the act of it.
Well, I have a great book suggestion for you.
I love it. It's on the list.
Okay, now are you ready for my stock questions?
Yes.
Okay, candles or essential oil diffuser?
Oh my gosh, I have both. That's so hard. I actually have both, but I've been doing more candles lately for the vibe. Just yeah,
There
only
is
candle
something to it for sure.
yeah.
Okay, cloth napkins or paper?
Oh, cloth.
Okay, city or country?
This is hard. I split my time between two places. So I live in Austin and Toronto.
Oh,
I spend,
wow.
yeah. So in Austin city very much, but when you come from Toronto, Austin's more country than it is city.
That's true.
So I also love both. I think I need a balance. I miss the city when I don't have it enough, but I also miss the country. So I think the having both is so beautiful. Being able to just have both is beautiful.
Okay. Paper or digital?
Paper.
All right. Shopping, would you rather do it online or in the store?
Oh, in store.
Yeah, these are all kind of like a slam dunk for what I would assume that you would answer these questions.
Totally. It'd be funny if I was like swinging the other way and everything was like
Like
digital. It's like, oh, that's a
digital
little wide.
online. Wait a
Yeah.
minute.
No, for me, yeah, I'm not an online shopper at all. Like, I need to be at a store feeling the stuff, trying it on. Like, I can't even, yeah,
And
no.
it's gotten so frustrating that so many of the stores don't carry much of the stock that they
Yeah.
used to. It's like, there's not even anything here for me to pick from.
No, I know. It's like that's probably why I haven't shopped much lately.
Okay, it's whatever time you're making dinner and you need a mental break. Do you listen to music or a podcast?
Ooh, music. I would pick music first.
Okay, and what would be the music you would listen to?
I love like theming it to kind of what I'm cooking. So if I'm like cooking an Italian meal, I'll play like a slow, like Italian European playlist, like just type into Spotify different themes. Or if I'm like doing like a cocktail hour, or like a happy hour with friends, or like building a cheese board, then I'll play like a Spanish playlist, just like Spanish guitar or something fun. So I really like theming music to whatever I'm doing.
I love that idea and have never had that answer. That's brilliant. I can tell you host events.
That's very good. Okay, chocolate, milk or dark?
Oh, milk.
Okay, sports or no sports?
No sports.
Okay.
I
Live
could do
broad. Yeah, me too. Live broadcasting, would you rather broadcast or watch?
Ooh, broadcast.
Okay. What's your favorite movie?
Oh, I'm gonna go with, oh my God, there's so many, but I'm gonna go with Under the Tuscan Sun.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just
That's fun.
love all those things European and just
Yeah.
watch it. I was gonna say Eat, Pray, Love mainly for like the Italy scene where she's
Yeah.
just eating pasta.
Yeah.
But yeah, I relate to anything that's about slow living and yeah, romanticizing your life or just beauty and kind of those rituals. So it all ties into what I
Yeah.
love.
I love it. Okay, and final question. If you were to put yourself on the crunchiness spectrum, where zero is totally not crunchy and 10 is like singing Kumbaya by the fire with your legs unshaven and dreadlocks in your hair, where are you on the spectrum?
Oh my God, I don't know. Probably in the middle. I'd say
Okay.
probably. Yeah.
Sounds good. Well, it was so great to have you on today. I just loved getting to soak it all up. I can't wait to hear more about your community and all the events that are happening from that. So thank you for coming on.
Thank you so much. I love this conversation and thank you
Yeah,
for having me.
absolutely. You'll have to come back again if you have any new developments. I would love to
Oh,
chat
I would
again.
love to.
All right, thanks.
Thanks.
All right, ladies, that is it for this week's episode of the podcast. You can find all of today's notes by going to mackenziekappa.com/podcast or swiping up in whatever app that you listen to the podcast on, and you can find everything right there. I also want to remind you, if you are going to be doing some Prime Day shopping in the next week or so, I would love if you would use my link to push that commission my way. It's not going to cost you a penny more, but it sure does help things over here. So that link to get to Amazon is simply mackenziekappa.com/Amazon. It'll take you right there. You can buy whatever you want, and it really helps out a ton. Also, did you know that the podcast is now on YouTube? Yes, ladies. It is. So if you would like to actually watch our conversation, you can head over to my YouTube channel at youtube.com/@MackenzieKappa. Again, that link will be in the show notes and you can watch the whole conversation play out if you are into that, if that sounds fun to you. It's another way for you to consume the content, share it with your friends, and be able to, you know, drive all the points home. So if you would like to go over to YouTube, subscribe to my channel, I would absolutely love it. And I would love to see that you guys are enjoying this content over there as well. All right, ladies, until next week when I am back with Nikki Turner to talk about our finances, but it's a good time, I promise. Until then, go be bold and gracious.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Going to the gym can be discouraging, especially if you're putting in the work but barely seeing changes. But with Tonal, you can actually see your progress with every workout. Tonal provides the convenience of a full gym and the expertise of a personal trainer anytime at home with one sleek system. Designed to reduce your mental load, Tonal is the ultimate strength training system, helping you focus less on workout planning and more on getting results. No more second-guessing your technique. Tonal gives you real-time coaching cues to dial in your form and help you lift safely and effectively. After a quick assessment, Tonal sets the optimal weight for every move and adjusts in 1 pound increments as you get stronger, so you're always challenged. Tonal lets you choose from a variety of expert-led workouts, from strength to aero hit to yoga and mobility to keep you coming back for more. For a limited time, go to Tonal.com to get $500 off your Tonal purchase, plus a free 4-year warranty. That's Tonal.com for $500 off, plus a free 4-year warranty. Tonal.com.
Thanks for selling your car to Carvana. Here's your check.
Whoa, when did I get here?
What do you mean?
I swear it was just moments ago that I accepted a great offer from Carvana online. I must have time traveled to the future.
It was just moments ago. We do same-day pickup. Here's your check for that great offer.
It is the future.
It's the present and just the convenience of Carvana. Sorry to blow your mind.
It's all good. It happens all the time.
Sell your car the convenient way to
Carvana.
Pickup times may vary and fees may apply.